call you now.
Blog Talk Radio.
Daniel Clark Network Radio, the Daniel Clark and Marsha Jones Show, Sunday. How's everybody doing today? All right, let's get it show going.
Yes, hello.
Okay, Mr. Geist, we got you on the line. Hold tight for a second.
Love your eyes, wide enough for you to recognize that we're living in most dangerous times, and the truth can't be denied.
Will we ever escape it? The age of deceit has got so many of us bound, dreaming of being free. We let the TV tell us what is real, and then we wonder why our children believe it. What a shame.
Read between the lines, because they will pay the price for the greed and all the lies. If we fail them, you gotta
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Okay, we're waiting on Mr. Jones here. Mr. Jones, you there? Okay, let me try this again. Okay, it appears. Hello? Yeah, it appears that we're having a problem, Mr. Jones. He'll probably give me a call in a minute, you know, and we'll try to get them back on. Everybody, welcome to Daniel Clark Network Radio, the Entertainer's Playground. Mr. Jones, are you there? It says, okay, it dropped out. So, Mr. Geist, what's going on, my brother?
It's been a wonderful week. It's been a really wonderful week because people are deciding to do something for themselves, which is a part of what we are doing. And so we have powerful things coming together. And we have had a wonderful business week that is coming together from a personal perspective, that things are going to be and are successful for the endeavors that we're putting together. And I'm excited about that.
Yeah, that's very exciting. I mean, it's awesome. We are bringing things together and connecting people. That's a very important thing, is that we're getting individuals to really begin to work together for one common goal. And, you know, our target right now is 350 veterans dancing here in Richmond, but, you know, the bigger picture is 10,000 dancing in Washington, D.C. the middle of next year. So we've got quite a ways to go.
Well,
and recruiting individuals for this event.
Unity is the key. As long as we can get people to continue to unify.
Right.
And to begin to unify. 10,000 is a small number. They will be fighting for the tickets.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about, you know? Yeah. So, brother, what are Redskins at today?
You know, the last thing that I heard about was a couple of days ago was the Redskins were doing well. I can't speak to today, but they were doing well last I heard.
Yeah, okay. I'm here in Richmond, and I'm not sure what channel or even if they come on today, but, you know, that's always a good thing. The season has started, you know, for all you Redskins and Dallas fans out there, you know. I don't know of any other teams, you know. It's only Redskins and Dallas. After that, it's gone. Now, I'm probably going to have a lot of resistance for that statement there. but that's just the way love is. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, I'm from Texas, but I live in Washington, D.C. And so I can appreciate the love for the Redskins fan, but I can also appreciate the love for the Cowboys. I mean, I had a love with them for many, many years.
Hold it now! Don't get me wrong. Don't get it twisted. Now I have no love for Dallas.
Well, you know, for many years that was all the love I had was for Dallas. But as I heard a young lady say on yesterday, or actually a couple of days ago, she said, you know, she was from Florida and she supported the Tampa Bay team in Florida when she lived there. And, you know, she had a sister from some other place, and when she uprooted from Florida, she supported that team. And now, since she's in Washington, she supports the Redskins. She depicted a part of what my view of the situation is. I mean, football is a wonderful thing. I mean, I loved it for the years that I was watching it and being overly committed to it. But at the end of the day, I came to the conclusion that the players were in it for one reason, and that was for themselves. And even though I enjoy watching the sport, as I enjoy watching other sports like golf and basketball and baseball, you know, the reality of it is that the players are in it for themselves. And for camaraderie's sake, I'll support whatever team that I'm local to. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm looking at this from the perspective of, you know, what the enjoyment that I get from it.
Yeah, that's always a good thing. I mean, I'm just, you know, I look at the Redskins, and that's it. So if Redskins ain't playing, I ain't looking.
you're a hardcore fan, then.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, I only support the Redskins. You know, I don't look at anybody else. You know, I mean, I'm not one of those fans that go from, you know, the whole Sunday evening or Saturday watching game to game to game. You know, that's not, you know. I ain't in it like that. I do the Redskins, and after the Redskins gone, I'm gone.
I hear you. So how are the Redskins doing today?
Well, I don't know because I can't find them. I don't even know if they're playing today, you know, so that shows how much I'm really into it. But it would be nice if they was playing, and I would watch it, but not doing this show, you know. But... Yeah, you know, I've been thinking of a lot of things, and this whole program, this whole concept, everything is about bringing awareness, you know, in our communities as well as raising funds and everything. You know, doing our community watch, which starts on Wednesday now instead of Tuesday, I want each one of our representatives, you know, you there in Washington, I'm here in Richmond, Mrs. Carr's in North Carolina, Marsha's in Dayton, Ohio. We got Raph down in Atlanta. We got Haki down in Louisiana. I want us to start reporting each week a calculation of how many brothers is dead in each geographical location. And we want to have that number totaled up each show. And as we recruit more people from more from different states, at some point, I like for us to have someone reporting in all 52 states on an accountability per week of how many of us is dead, and you know that is killed as a result of gun violence, but you also know that one dead, two incarcerated. So we want to start following that as well. Want to make some comparisons to other races and other communities to see and evaluate what do you think about that?
Well, you know, the question I have, from an instantaneous perspective, those numbers will be challenging to acquire based off the fact that you're talking about data. But I do understand where you're coming from in terms of numbers of young black men and or women dead. But from a statistical perspective, I'm sure those numbers will be very difficult to acquire. But the reality of it,
I know that we can get them from a national research because I've pulled it up, you know, I've just asked the question. And it gives you several databases that you can go in and monitor and see these incidents. Well, that may not.
As long as you can provide that, then there's no problem in terms of, you know, but beyond that, there might be some challenges because, again, it's data.
Right. Right. Okay.
Now, I believe you have another caller that's just come on board.
No, actually, we don't. I'm trying to get Mr. Jones here. I believe he's having some phone problems. So maybe we'll make that happen shortly. But in the meantime, we're going to play a little bit of music. Then we'll come back to the show. Today is the Daniel Clark and Marsha Jones Show, which is basically a talk show. So you can give us a call, 646-478-4995. You want to join in the conversation? I mean, we welcome all callers, you know. Alrighty, Soulfinger. Yeah, Daniel Clark and Marsha Jones show, and I believe this is Mr. Jones calling in right now. Mr. Jones, how you doing today, brother?
Oh, I'm just fine. I didn't want to be left out, so I thought I'd better give you a call.
Hey, I tried.
On the same page. We got a day with the radio today, huh?
How about that, my brother? Yeah, I tried you a couple of times. I knew you would be coming in here at some point today, you know? Yeah,
yes,
so we,
sir. I'm right here up front with you, boss.
All right,
so
all right, man.
We got something to say to these kids, man. I don't know if it's going to actually work for this generation, but hopefully by the next generation we can change some minds. Because these kids, you know, they don't see no tomorrow. All they see is today.
You're absolutely right.
I'm here, sir, to make sure we can start changing some minds.
Oh, that is definitely a plus, and that's what this whole situation is about. I was having a conversation with one of my colleagues the other day, and, you know, we was discussing the radio station and that kind of thing. And I was like, look, I ain't trying to be Tom Joyner. I'm not trying to be Steve Harvey. The sole purpose of this radio program is to be a tool for our cause, which is saving our children, working with our veterans and our ex-offenders. Other than that, I mean, I can turn this box on and play music for the next 40 days, you know, and it won't bother me. But
you got something on your mind, man. You got me. You got my attention.
Right.
That's enough for me.
Yeah, yeah. And we got some other, we just incorporated another company with us that have a background in training. And, you know, not only do, you know, most of our training is really designed for our brothers, but now we've connected with an organization. Mr. Geis, you can jump in here anytime you want. Her program is designed more on the feminine side. And I don't want to sound racist or anything of that nature, you know, but EKG, nurse's assistant, several other type programs in that medical field, you know, because our sisters need training too. You know, we got sisters out there that's being incarcerated as well.
Their program is absolutely fresh and wonderful, and you can see the vision that they have in the sense for what they're doing, for what we're doing. And anytime you have people operating with such great vision, it's an honor to be associated with them.
Yeah, it is. Yep. You guys have to excuse me today, man. I'm trying to get some beef through. You know, I'm getting old now. I can't be eating all that heavy food, you know, so... It's got me rolling. You know? I'm seriously thinking about changing my diet, brother.
That's always a good thing to do.
Huh?
That's always a good thing to do.
Yeah, I had a taste for a hamburger yesterday, and I still got that sucker today.
Well, you know. That's one of the things that we have to understand was a part of what enslaved us was dietary issues. And so we have to bring dietary matters under control so that we can move ourselves to a point of freedom.
Right.
I mean, in the prison system, they feed the green bologna and they feed the old beef and the old vegetables. So essentially that they can make their population sick and lower their spiritual status so that they can continue to confine them.
Right.
And so what we have to understand is that we have to take a different approach and teach a different approach to those of us who are looking to be free. because the reality of it is that your diet is indeed a portion of what consists of the challenge that you deal with that keeps you at a lower station in life or assists you into rising into a higher station. From a social economic perspective, that's why the fast food restaurants and the liquor stores are located where they are. The bank controls that based off of where they loan money to open up these sorts of businesses, because they understand that if you can place it conveniently or inconveniently, whatever the situation is, to an area, that you are going to affect the people in that area who are going to rise or fall based off of the types of resources that they have in terms of stores and or lack of stores to provide them with the services, alcohol, fast food restaurants with high sodium contents, high grease contents, and things of this nature. So it's not just an issue of where, okay, you know, I can buy what I want to buy. It also breaks down into the grocery stores and the food that is contained in the grocery stores in the higher end areas as opposed to the lower end areas. It's all social, economic demographics that deal with what they're going to allow you to consume, because they understand what I refer to in the ancient languages as the knowledge of the Kelbi,
what you're saying to me that a T-bone in Baker Village may be different than a T-bone in Georgetown.
I don't know where Baker Village is, but I do understand the concept that you're talking about, and that is exactly what I'm saying to you, is that
I meant Berry Farm, Berry Farm.
No, what I'm telling you is the T-bone is going to be different. Just like when you have sales going on, where they're trying to promote the pushing out of merchandise, what they're doing is they're saying, take this old garbage at this very low price and consume it, because the stuff that we have that is more nutritious, we're selling at a higher price point, which will enable us to keep the agenda that we have of putting forth merchandise that is designed for specific areas at a high price point. I'm telling you, it's all socially engineered so that a banker can sit behind his desk and make decisions as far as loans are concerned to determine whether or not you're going to eat garbage, which is going to lower you down with knowledge of the KLD, or foods that are going to rise you up. Now, beyond what takes place at that level, what you have in the book of Daniel, where it identifies where the sons Daniel and his associates were saying, don't feed us this meat, meaning they understood this dynamic to the point to where they said, let us eat the foods that we understand that are designed to eat for specific science so that we might be able to rise above what it is that the king, in that case, was trying to feed us so that we could accomplish a different objective, where we could be in a position where when our dreams came to us at night, that we could read our dreams and understand what was going on in the future. And that's a part of the dynamics of what we're talking about from a physical perspective, is that you have to become intimately aware of, okay, what is it that you're eating and the impact of what you're eating, what does it have in terms of what your life is actually going to be from a physical perspective.
Right. Okay, okay. All right, my brother. Mr. Marsha Jones, I'm still trying to get out there to Dayton, brother, and learn how to play that guitar. Hello? Okay. Seems that he dipped out on us for a second there, so maybe we'll get him back on the other end in a short minute. Because I wanted to bring him up to speed on the new shows now, but for the sake of the audience, you're listening to the Daniel Clark Network Radio, Daniel Clark and Marsha Jones show. And if you'd like to call in, you can call in at 646-478-4995. Mr. Jones kind of stepped away for a second, so he'll be back with us shortly. But in the meantime, I want to talk about the upcoming shows. Today's show is We're Doing Something to Save Our Children is basically the title. But if you go to Blog Talk or if you go to Facebook, you would see the list of shows for the week. And we've just started being on the air live every day now between 8 and 10, except for on Sunday. So you can check us out tomorrow. Tomorrow, New Music Monday from 8 until 10 tomorrow. If you have new music and you're interested in having it put into rotation, and even being interviewed live on the air to talk about your product, hey, then that's cool. You can give me a call, 301-257-6926, or you can email me, djss127@yahoo.com. Now, on Tuesday, we've got our Lime Dance and Step show. That's for all you lime dancers, you steppers, your motorcycle games and trail rides and saddle clubs and things of that nature. I mean, that you can, you know, join us on Tuesday for the best in lime dancing and step music. Wednesday, Community Watch. Yes, Community Watch. This is a program that you want to be a part of. It is going to give you and highlight some of the issues that is in the community and start forming a coalition of individuals in different communities to talk and come up with different concepts, ideas, and thoughts as to how to work and do things to better your community. Thursday, of course, is Blues Night. Spending some of the best in your blues music. Bobby Blue Bland, B.B. King, and that type of thing. And once again, we hit Friday with our Friday's jam session. You guys experienced that this Friday, and then we come right back on Saturday with the Saturday Night Flashback. And last night, we featured the Dramatics, TLC, Marvin Gaye, and Cameo. So, I mean, it's kind of different format. It's not, we're focusing on the entire album of those artists. I mean, and a lot of times, you know, we want to listen to the story that the artists tell in those albums or in those compositions. So it would be a good time to tune into the show, to listen to, you know, two or three albums of your favorite artists, you know, to take you back on a flashback where you used to be when Cameo was doing that thing of the Ohio Players, the Slave, you know. Those are the years in which we were kids. And it's always good to go back there, brother, especially in these days, you know. It's good to have some happy thoughts. Yeah. So with that said, Mr. Geis, we have four programs set up right now. And Mr. Jones, are you back with us?
Yes, sir. I never left, actually. I accidentally had mute on. Well, it wasn't an accident because I had somebody working on the ceiling and they had these drills buzzing. So
oh,
I put
okay.
it on mute and I forgot to take it off. So I'm
okay.
right here.
All right, my brother. Look, I was going to ask you this. You have any idea how many brothers or sisters was gunned down in Dayton, Ohio this week?
No, but I can guarantee it's far too many.
Okay.
Far too
but,
many.
But you
know,
do know that there...
People. Go ahead.
You do know that there was some casualties there in Dayton during the week.
I can assume it. It's kind of much, pretty much the order of the day, you know. You get used to it, so it's almost at the point where you don't pay it no attention. But I do know it's there, and I'm want to take steps, and that's the reason why I'm on the radio, is hopefully we can do something about it. You know, today, as a people, we suffer from cultural amnesia. We don't have a clue as to who we are, and that's what I'm about. I'm going to refresh my family's memory as to their African culture because they know not who they are. I
right.
mean, the daggone fly knows who he is. A roach knows who he is. So we must awaken in our own legitimate way the truth of who we are. So how else are we going to go into the 21st century?
Yeah, absolutely. Hello? Absolutely. I wanted to bring you up on speed since the last time that we talked. We have started airing every day to the week. So, of course, you know, Sunday is our show from 3 to 5. And we talked about the New Music Monday. That is tomorrow from 8 into 10. Then on Tuesday, we've got the Lime Dance and Step Jam. Something that I want everybody to pay attention to is Community Watch, because the reason I asked you that question about if you had any idea of how many brothers or sisters was gunned down in Dayton this week, I want to start a program where we can get some data from each state, you know, starting with the people that I already know, Mrs. Carr down in Greensboro. She may be able to give us that report in North Carolina. Will might be able to give us a report in D.C. You can do Dayton. I can do Richmond. And as we continue to add other states onto it, I like to know on a weekly basis or on a daily basis how many of us killed across the United States.
Well, you know, I'm definitely going to find out from Dayton.
Okay.
I will find that out.
And Will, you work on Washington, D.C.?
Well, no question about
that now.
Yeah, no question about my area. I mean, you know, the answer is far too many. And not only should we know how many people are killed, we should understand the nature of the black-on-black crime factor that's involved with this. Because it tells us, you know, not only were they killed, but they were killed by black-on-black crime. It says that we are killing us. And
yeah.
That's where it gets into statistics of, you know, one dead and two in prison.
Right. One dead, two incarcerated, and as Marshall say, kins killing kins. And that's definitely a slogan that we're going to put out there, you know, as we move forward. But, yeah, I would like to be able to post that, you know, and maybe Facebook would be a good place to put it because our people seem to be so happy and jolly on Facebook as if there is nothing really going on in this world but Facebook. Not, you know, busting anybody's bubble or anything of that nature, because everybody is entitled to their own, you know, opinion, or entitled to do and is free to do what they do. But I think Facebook is just becoming very ridiculous when it comes to us, as all of the crap that we see up there. And whenever you put something up there positive, it seems like, what was the name of that? Some movie where the guy kept saying, zoom, you know, it's just right over your head, zoom, you know. If you're talking about anything positive, it just goes right over your head, zoom. You know, I mean, it appears that they have absolutely no concept, or they're not even interested until one of their own, and then they want to cry and yell, and now they're ready to do something. Hey, we need to start putting ourselves in a position to prevent some of these tragedies from happening, which means that Facebook ain't going to do it for you. I guarantee that young white boy that designed Facebook have not put one dime or dollar back into the black community. So we need to do some research on that too, because black folks need to know. Yep. Mr. Jones might be on mute again.
Okay, well, you know, my comment is simply, you know, the reality of it is that we have to look at we. The things in our community, so that we don't expect, depend, or have any expectations whatsoever on what, you know, they're going to do. Being anyone outside of us is going to do for us. That's a tough job, but that's the reality that we're faced with, and that's the reality that we have been faced with for a considerable period of time, that we have to come to grips with, and that we have to act on and make things happen from that platform. If it is to be, it is up to me. That's what we have to come to grips with. And once we come to grips with that, then we're in a position to understand that we have to not raise capital, but direct capital in a direction where it is most beneficial to us. In each and every individual situation, so that we can get the results that we need to get, we must direct our dollars towards ourselves so that we can accomplish the objectives that we can accomplish, which is from a numerical perspective, which is to have those dollars circulating within our community more than once, more than twice, more than thrice, more than four times, so that we can say we have done what we need to do to accomplish the objective that we need to accomplish, which is to bring prosperity into the community in which we exist.
Yeah, you're absolutely right there, my brother. And what other way? I mean, there's really no way to do it other than patronizing each other. I mean, you know, everything that we purchase is from someone else. I mean, you can have a, you know, I hate to say it, a little mom and pops, and they don't even exist anymore. And the reason that they don't exist is instead of you going to mom and pops and trying to help them survive, then you'd rather take it down to Walmart. And I don't think that, I do know that Walmart is making some investment, but they might put a crumb back into the community when you're giving them a grocery bag.
Sure.
So the amount of money that we're spending at Walmart is nothing even to begin to be equivalent about as to what they're putting back into the community. And, you know, we're getting ready to do a few proposals, and we'll really see how much, you know, how much they really care. And there's some organizations, they don't even want your business. You know, they rather for you to stay out, you know. With that said, my brother, you know, so we need to get into our neighborhoods and start looking at creating our own business, keeping that money in the neighborhood. We're going to
shorts, and he don't even care for clothes. He cares for me. My baby don't care for cars and races. Baby don't care for. He don't care for high-toned places. Liz Taylor is not his style. And even Liberace smiles. Something he can't see. Something he can't see. I wonder what's wrong with baby. My baby just cares for.
Just a little bit so that I can age myself. I mean, you know, wonderful, wonderful group. Wonderful, wonderful sound. And they are part of definitely my era. So for those of you who want to know how old I am, I'm old enough to remember them.
What about you, Marsha? You remember the Staple Singers?
Yes, sir. I sure do remember the Staple Singers. And go ahead.
Now, did Pop used to play that bass? Well, wasn't he a bass guitar player, too?
He might have played keyboards, but I don't think he was a bass player.
Okay. Yeah, well, that was the Staples Singers. I mean, it's always good to go back and, you know, think about, you know, even though it appears that we was fresh out of a situation as far as slavery and gaining our civil rights and things of that nature, I believe back in those days we had a little bit more love for each other as a race of people than we do now. What do you say about that, Mr. Jones?
Well, I understand the dynamics of the powers that be. But I notice that, you know, as long as we've been in this country, it's always been a struggle. Every which way we have tried to level the playing field, the rug is always pulled out from under us. And if we don't wake up and realize who we are and what destinies we have to cover, then we will always remain subordinate to the white man's burden. And as they say, but they say the white man's burden and the black man's hell.
Mm-hmm.
This is the situation that we are in today. Because there's enough money in the United States to make a lot of things happen. But
that's
black, and he's an endangered species. Let's face it. That's why I'm on the list.
Say that. Did you say an endangered species?
Yes. I mean, we are endangered. You know, the guns that they pointed us equals the guns that we carry between our legs. Mm-hmm. You know, we have the genetic potential to annihilate the white race. And the white race wants to equalize us. And therefore, you know, the gun is called the equalizer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're doing. They're doing this, you know, with a malicious intent.
Right.
And I'm at the understanding we need to wake up because we seem to, as a people, not realizing that this is going on right up under our nose.
Mm-hmm. But
and I think we should go to the churches, man, and have these pastors step up to the plate because they have the potential to have classrooms over there at the church.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we not training our own? Why are we letting our children, our most prized possession, be educated by a man who has no interest in educating our kids?
Right.
I'm not saying not go to school, but at least prepare your children for what they have to do when they go to school. The Jews, they take their children and they prepare them. They go over them tests with them kids before they even go back to school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that they do with the Japanese and the Chinese people of all races come over here. They always got a better opportunity. And we built this son of a gun.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that.
How come we don't have the mindset to do something about it when we got the church there? I mean, you know, that's one of my problems is with the church because the church is talking about salvation, and we need the church to start talking about liberation.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can't continue to blame the white man when we got all the resources we need amongst ourselves to be a nation of productive people.
Right.
So that's why I'm on the radio, and Lord knows I don't have no business being on no radio running my mouth. I might be a good bass player, but I don't have those talking skills.
Brother, yeah.
But I want to be heard. Somebody's got to say something.
Yeah,
and I want to speak to the truth and raise the consciousness of our people.
But what's wrong with the truth? Because it appears that whenever we as black folks start talking about the issues that face us in our community and racial profiling and discrimination on our jobs and things of that nature, which is something that's been going on for ages, Everybody seemed to want to act if though that is business as usual. But when you start speaking out, everybody look at you like you're creating a crime by trying to prevent individuals from committing a crime. And truly, this system have been in a fashion where it have not been fair about dark and brown people.
Well, the truth is that we got a system over here, and you don't really realize it because it's so ingrained in the culture here. But when you leave the country and stay 2 or 3 months and you come back, then you see it, man. It's like it's in the air, you know. The American dream is a facade when it comes to black people. And we need to wake up from Dr. King's dream and realize that we got to pull together, or else we will be living in corrugated shacks like the Indians on reservations. We don't have no choice at this point in our careers in the U.S. of A. And the truth is, and I don't know why we don't see it, but the truth is that the government is creating criminals, and they're doing it deliberately so they can control the population of black men so we can't be as productive as fathers in the homes. You know, they go, first thing they tell us, we're not hiring. Or if you go to school and you get an education, they just tell you, you're overqualified. See, these are the issues we got to look at.
Oh, yes.
You know, nobody talks about, me going to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give me a salvation while I live.
Right.
You know, this is what I'm a little upset with the church about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're preaching about going to heaven, and when you look at the Bible, I mean, all the characters in there are white folks.
Right.
Jesus is white. Mary's white. The angels is white. I don't know what color the Holy Ghost is, but most ghosts I know or heard of are white. You know, the red. But I'm, you know, let's look at the facts, man. Let's look at the truth.
Right.
And we sit down like ordinary citizens and pull ourselves up. Otherwise, we're going to always be subordinate to the white man's whims. Church and
right.
No church. It ain't making no difference. We got the finest churches in the city.
That's
right.
Because
the government helped put them up. But the people that live in the city that go to these churches and pay their tithe, their condition doesn't get any better.
Mm-hmm.
Till they get too old to take care of themselves. Okay, so the church will put up some dorms where you can, you can at least have a decent roof over your head, yes. But what about the liberation of these kids? How come we're not looking at that?
Right, right.
And we got a glorious past. You know, we need to be singing the songs of our ancestors.
Oh, yeah.
And telling stories about our culture.
Mm-hmm.
And writing our own history. Instead of that little black Sambo, all that old craziness, man.
Right, right. Yeah, man, we definitely got a road to follow. We definitely got a long path ahead of us. And moving forward with this movement because it is necessary. It is necessary that we get into our communities and start working with our youth to prevent that generation. You know, I see this little kid in my neighborhood. This guy can't be no more than 7 or 8 years old. And he's walking around with his pants down halfway around his ass. You know, at 7 years of age, pants down around his ass, you know. And I'm saying, okay, well, there go the pipeline from school to jail. Because already at 7 years of age, he's already assumed that identity.
Yeah,
so by the time he gets, by the time he get 12 or 13, he's already sold his first crack rock or purchased his first weapon. And by the time he gets 13 or 14, he's killed his first brother, incarcerated. And the pattern just go on and on.
It's a mess.
Yep.
It's a mess.
Mr. Geist, did you fall asleep on us?
No, I haven't fallen asleep. I'm listening totally to what you're saying and I agree with what you're saying. I mean, you know, the reality of it is that's the scenario that young black men find themselves in when they're living on the street. When they're not on the street, they are imprisoned. They are not generating enough revenue to support the families and or the kids they have made. And so what you've got is a situation there where oftentimes for them it is less pressure than to be in a situation of confinement. And so what we have to understand is that, you know, as we assist in the rehabilitation of these individuals, that we have to offer them a substantial opportunity in the way of jobs and or income-generating possibility, because they have responsibilities that they have had for a number of years that are there that we didn't get involved in with them until at this point. But at this point, they still need to address those issues so that they can feel that they are accomplishing the objectives that they're accomplishing. So $9 an hour, $10 an hour, when they have three or four kids, is not enough. We have to address the whole picture. And the whole picture may involve, in some cases, assisting them with self-employment. And then the whole picture, in some cases, may involve initially just assisting them in gaining employment, and then moving them to a self-employment module. So it's a complex situation that we need to address, but that I am committed to address because they need our help, and without our help, they don't have much coming.
Now, I'm thinking that we need to set up boot camps across the United States to deal with those issues with kids between the age of 7, maybe to 13. Get them at that age where they're at the stage where you can shape their mind and get them into knowing who they are.
Now you're talking.
And yeah, for real. I mean, because, see, one of the things is that we've lost. We're not going to be able to turn back a lot of these individuals. But we want to get these young kids at an age where it can make a difference. The environment that they are in and the environment that they are around is what they breed. So we've got to, even though they're in the environment, we've got to condition their mind to the point that they understand and realize what, why, and how they are targeted as a market piece. That is more money for the system. That's why there's more jails than it is schools. And you have to fight to get them to build better schools, but they're building jails every day. And they have already estimated on how many is going to be incarcerated in the next 5 years. but they have not estimated how many is going to be educated or graduating in the next 5 years. So their emphasis is more so on incarceration than education, and that's why we're carrying that slogan, why incarcerate, educate.
I agree with you, sir. I agree with wholeheartedly. We have got to come together as one mind in the black community if we intend to survive the 21st century.
Absolutely.
And we have to come together. Because I don't know I can't quote the figures, but I've heard tell that if we put all our money together collectively, we'd be the ninth richest nation on the planet.
Yeah,
that's saying a lot. And all we know is when we get our money, we just become consumers. We rush out and buy some, and most of the things we don't need.
Right, for real.
So what we need to start thinking about is survival.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and putting ourselves back on the good foot and doing things that's going to, start these kids' careers, start these kids thinking correctly. Because we can't, these kids are our most precious possession. I continue to say this. But why don't we send them off to a slave master to shape their mind? I mean, white supremacy is still alive and well.
Ku Klux
Klan. And we have to counter that. Yeah.
Go ahead, Marshall.
Oh, I was just interrupted by a call, but I'll pass on that. But white supremacy is like I said, it's ingrained in the culture here, and you don't notice it when you hear it because you live under it every day. You know, when you leave out of the country and you stay 2 or 3 months, then when you come back, it hits you point blank. I was pulled out of an airline when I came back into the country in Houston, Texas. There was some foreign lady who pulled me off the line and went through all of my stuff and just expecting me to have some kind of drug or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm already targeted, you know.
Right.
So that's what we got to look at.
Now, I want you guys.
We hear, but we hear not. We see, but we see not. What's really going on, in my opinion.
Yeah. Now, I want you guys to check this out, and Will is already familiar with it. I believe truly in my heart, and this is what I'm fighting for. This is what I'm trying to do. And, Marshall, you have the same vision. We all have this vision. September the 27th, that's going to be 350 veterans hand dancing here in Virginia. We're going to come right back with the Veteran Hand Dance Association Bowtie Fair, and we're going to do this 3 times here in the Virginia area. From there, the middle of next year, spring, we want to be in that D.C. Armory with 10,000 veterans hand dancing. So I'm started to put the list together, and Will, I want you to do the same, and Marshall, I mean, if you got veterans out there, and I'm quite sure you know some veterans, I want to get a list. Next year, when spring hit, I want 10,000 veterans at the D.C. Armory carrying this concept, saving our children, why incarcerate, educate. Because, see, my vision is this. They cannot tell us what to do with the monies that we raise ourselves. Those funds can be utilized to target the faith base or the organization that's in the community that have a reputation for succeeding in training our kids and working with our kids, and we can start putting more money into their purse to allow them to do more things and to attract more kids. You know, when I was working with on the Made in Mayday project there in D.C. at the Boys and Girls Club there on Benning Road, and there was several young guys that would come because we had a music program there, and Lee Ashcraft, I believe he was the saxophonist for Curtis Mayfield. He would come, and he was training, you know, he had his where he was training them with saxophones, things of that nature, and then I was doing like the hip-hop or whatever the title, it was rap during that time. And these little kids used to come in with these black scarves around their head. And one simply asked me one day, he said, Mr. Clark said, why should I listen to you when, you know, you have that old beat up Oldsmobile and you're struggling to try to make this program work when my boy over there, 13 years old, with that brand new Cadillac. Now,
indeed.
Yeah, yeah, you know. So he said, why should I want to roll with you? They would rather take the risk of being dead to gain a few pennies, and they never really make any money. I mean, I only know several really high-profile drug dealers. Rafer Edmonds was one. But the system know where you are every minute of the day, every time of the day. You know, if you can see those Talibans or ISA or whatever over in Iraq or moving around as they gather, don't you think they can see you out there on the street selling drugs?
Well, that's what they look. That's what they want. You become their soldiers in the black community, selling poison to the minds of the young. This is why I'm really upset with the church, because the church could go a long way to liberate these kids' minds. See, instead of them, they don't have nothing to look forward to, and one of the reasons is because they don't know their history. They don't know nothing that's going to give them pride. See, that's what I want to do. I want to wake them up. Because these kids ain't stupid.
No, we got smart kids.
Yeah, this kid told, Mr. Marshall, I'm already dead. I don't expect to see 30 years old. And he meant it. And I didn't have an answer point for 18 because he caught me off guard.
Right.
You know. But these kids are programmed for destruction. They don't bring the drugs over here. They don't have no planes. They don't have no boats. They don't have no guns, you know. But they got guns and drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So now what do we do? I would say go to the church, because the church is our most trusted institution. And make them preachers stop preaching about some salvation in the hereafter. And start talking about liberation today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing I can say about Islam, even though I don't know, I used to practice it, I don't know more, because I found out that Muslims were one of the first slave traders.
Right.
So what I will respect is the fact that they are at least talking about their own land and liberating the consciousness of our people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is what we need to do with every facet of our lives.
Right.
And
right.
every endeavor, from education to your work, to your church, to your schools, to your doctor, all these things. You know, at one time when we were segregated, we had doctors, we had schools. I remember we had our own two black cab companies here in Dayton, Ohio.
Okay.
Westside Cab and Fleetline Cab. We had our own doctors, lawyers, and everything. We were a whole community. But now we don't have nothing. That's why I like this thing with Claude Anderson. I want you to have him on the show, man.
You know,
he talks about economics.
I've reached out to that brother already to see if I can get his information, and I was, you know, I'm really glad that you turned me on to him. I mean, I've listened to him on several occasions. I've shot him out on my Facebook, and as usual, no one's interested. No one came back to say that they shared that. But, you know, I wake up one morning and see a horse, you know, screwing a donkey, and everybody was commenting on that. So that can tell you, that can tell you where the minds of these folks that's on Facebook is at. It is exactly what they said. It is a social media, but social, to me, have a different definition, I mean, than probably for most folks, because social to me represent a group of people coming together to better situations for their race, their people. Social club, my mom used to have a social club when I was growing up, and they did things in the community, bake sales and, you know, provided school supplies for kids when it was time to go back to school and that kind of thing. Now, this social media that is called Facebook, I don't think anybody realized how many billions of dollars that this young white boy is making off of their advertisement. And then the other thing is that, how do I get into the white Facebook? Will, I'll pull you in on that one.
Well, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, the reality of it is that we have to understand that we are responsible. We have to do the things that we have to do to make ourselves and our community a better place to be.
Right, right. But my question was this. When I go on Facebook, all I see is us. Where do I go to communicate with white folks?
Okay.
And Marsha, you may be able to answer that as well, but when I go on Facebook, all I see is black folks. Where do I go to mix it up?
Well, you know, I have white friends and black friends also on Facebook. Tons of them. I don't know the ratio, but I have it. But at the end of the day, as I said, we have to be responsible for us. I get the conservative view. I get the Islamic view from throughout the world. And I get other views across my Facebook friends. And it's set up that way so that I can see what and how people are thinking. But I ultimately am the person that has to make the decision as to which direction that I need to go in. Because I see it all.
Okay. All right, cool. With that said, guys, we're going to take another music break here. You're listening to Daniel Clark and the Marsha Jones Show, Sunday evening right here, Daniel Clark Network Radio. Going to see what Mr. Bobby Womack got to say about that.
You know, life is funny when you look at it. Everybody wants love, but everybody's afraid of love. You know, I'm a true believer that if you get anything out of life, you got to put up with the toils and strife. Now listen. Ooh, you're pushing my love a little bit too far. I don't think you know, I don't think you know how blessed you are. And your friend Annie Mae tell you all she sees, and never thought she was trying to get close to me, yeah. Think it over, take it over, girl. Take it over. Look, that's the way you feel about you. And if I can weep for you, so has many others too. But that's the sacrifice that life put you through, put you through, put you through. Trust in me, my dear. Have no fear. You don't know, but God might have sent me here. Yeah. Take it over.
Clark and Marsha Jones show. Guys, I'm going to stick one more in here and then we're going to get back to our conversation.
Ain't no love in the heart of the city. Ain't no show us the feeling.
Bobby Bland, Ain't No Love in the Heart of the City. Daniel Clark Network Radio on air with me, none other than Mr. Marsha Jones, bass player from Ohio Players, and Mr. Wilbert Geis, the National Coalition of Minority Businesses. Brother, Mr. Bland was just saying Ain't No Love in the Heart of the City. What's your comment on that, Will?
Well, you know, the reality of it is that there is love, but the love has to come from within us to show and express itself towards us and others. Because if we don't do that, then he's absolutely right. Ain't no love in the heart of the city. But you know, I know and I believe and I have confidence towards people that they will, and we do things to help each other to grow and be and become. And so that's part of, if that were the case, that there wasn't no love, then you and I, in terms of these efforts that we put forward, should just go home and pack up and forget about what the possibilities are and just concentrate on the government contracting business where we're having tremendous success and just focus on our dollars and cents. We're not just focusing on our dollars and cents. We're focusing on a community and what we can do for the community. And so that is an act of love in and of itself, is that we're not being selfish and saying, man, we're making money, hell with the rest of them. We're saying, we are doing what we're doing, and we want to reach out and expand and grow and be a part of and extend a hand, a loving hand, to others who are not as fortunate as us to have the intellectual acumen to be able to move forward, or the experience to be able to move forward as you have had over the years. And that is another act of love that you extend to the community.
Right, right. Okay. Hey, Mr. Jones.
Yes, sir.
I want to put together a program right now. What are we, September? No, we are August. I want to put together a program right now for the D.C. Armory in Washington, D.C. I want to do what is called short range and long range goals. We know what our short range goals are. That is to produce 4 events here in Richmond. Those 4 events is going to give us enough funds to get up into D.C. with that 10,000 seating capacity at the D.C. Armory. I want to identify some groups now and get some prices now so that we will have a general idea of what it's going to cost. And as we move these campaigns and this program, this movement, as we move it forward, we want everybody to start looking at next year D.C. Armory, 10,000 individuals hand dancing. That is a profit. That is a $250,000 gig. At $250,000, I think we're ready to start moving all over the United States with this program and starting really to make some difference into the community.
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring your attention to some friends of mine who, like I said, they do concerts up to 10,000, maybe 15,000. Smaller venues and the major groups are booking, but they also are booking some of all the top groups back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. there's a whole plethora of artists, as we know, that are working, still working out there. And maybe we can get some bookings. And the main thing, what I'm trying to say to you, is to get you in touch with the right people that's doing it.
Right.
Then that way you can get some prices, you know. We'll see what happens.
Okay. Yeah, that's what we need to do. We need to start looking at next year and start putting that into place so that the individuals that is working with us would see that ultimate goal. And I like to share that with everyone because that's going to motivate them to work harder and helping us to get these four shows out the way so that we can hit D.C. Early next year. And from there, we want to go to Dayton. You know, from D.C., Marshall, we want to come over there where you at.
Bring it on, baby. You love music here.
Yeah, you might be in
the home of funk, baby. Hey.
You might be in Tennessee or Texas by that time, but we would have to bring you back to Dayton because we want to show the love to the individuals that's in the program first. So Richmond, Washington, D.C., Dayton, Ohio, North Carolina, and then from there all over the United States. And imagine if we're selling out these shows as if Tom Joyner sells out his shows that he's doing for the colleges. And this is basically, we're doing the same thing that he's doing, except that our program deals a little bit different. I mean, his program is for individuals for scholarships and that is already going to school, and more than likely their parents and, you know, families is somewhat, you know, stable. But we want to look at the root of the situation and deal with those. In other words, I've got individuals around me that, you know, the kid was able to get a scholarship to go to school, but they can afford to pay the money for them to be in school. You see, so you give a person a scholarship, but you don't pay the room and board, or you don't pay the expenses. In other words, if you're going to school for instance, a cosmetologist, well, you're going to pay for the school, but then that individual will have to pay for the uniforms, for all the curlers and curling irons and all the products and all the things that you need in order to do this. This is the same thing, Will, that we're talking about, is that we want to give these veterans an opportunity to train, but it does no good to give them any training. You know, you're going to train them how to terminate these different devices with somebody else's tools. It does them absolutely no good to have that training if they don't have the tools to go do the work. So we have included the tools in our package. We have included in our package two uniforms. We have included in our package the necessary things that the individual is going to need in order to walk out of that door and go do that job.
Well, from a cost-cutting perspective, what you're saying is that after you give them everything, after we give them everything that we can and will give them, the issue becomes how many of them are actually going to act on what they have in terms of knowledge, training, and understanding. So the issue becomes if they're not going to act on what they have received, then you are saying I am limiting or making a determination of those people who are determining themselves if they're going to move forward. so that I'm not throwing these dollars away after I've given them what it is that they have received. And so that might be a part of why you might train them, make them proficient or efficient in what it is that you're talking about. But at the end of the day, the question is, are they going to do what they need to do? And many of them are not going to do what they need to do. They're not going to take the step. And the only way you're going to get them to take the step is for you to condition them and teach them how to condition themselves so that they can do what it is they need to do to succeed.
Right, right, right.
Now, what I'm thinking is going along the lines of where these young kids' minds are. Like maybe we should even start. Hello?
Yes.
Maybe we should start playing more records that they would buy into. And they have speakers come on the radio like the Dr. Uma Johnson, Dr. Ben, some of these scholars who can teach, who can prepare these kids to start thinking different. You know, there's a lot of hip-hoppers out there that want to play music that relates to the conditions of today, but the record companies are not signing them because they want them to keep putting out this smut music.
I'm glad so you said that.
Yeah, we have to start guiding and prying into their mindset. And when you got radio, you got power, baby.
Right, right,
you
right.
Know, so I'm thinking we need to go along with that, you know, and start having some of these professional people who can say it better than we can about the conditions of our cities or inner cities or whatever you want to call it.
Right, right. You know, one of the other things that I had thought of, and I'm going to do this, you know, Marshall, hand dancing, swing dancing builds a relationship and is also a form of exercise. But
true.
if you swing dance, and you meet someone that you have never danced with before, then you will have to kind of be able to take that lady and adjust to her moves, her styles, and, you know, her type of movements in order for you guys to become in sync on that dance floor. One of the things that I noticed, and I'm going to start a hand dance association for kids from 9 into 13. Reason being is that our young brothers have no connection with the females. If you go to one of their functions, you would see 20 females on one side, 20 brothers on the other side, and they all dancing together.
Well, that's what they do now. They don't dance cheek to cheek like we used to.
Yes, sir. You know, we need to have some of these kids to start interacting with their young sisters by hand dancing and dances that would require them to touch each other other than in the bed.
Oh.
Well, well, you know, I enjoy touching a female, other than in the bed and otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, but if you can understand what I'm saying is that there is no relationship with that individual unless it is something that is, I think the treatment of a young brother having respect for an individual that he's dancing with will build some type of relationship and some type of respect for our females than if the dances that they do now. I mean, it's just stupid. If I said that correctly.
Well, I have no experience in terms of what they're doing right these days, unfortunately.
You know, but I noticed when I was in California, what you described was the perfect scenario. Women not having, young women not having any contact with the young men. And I noticed a disdain in terms of the fact that young men did not want to have anything to do with young women in California. It was an animosity that was probably proper in its view based off of the way that the young women and the young men thought about each other over there. Now, I live currently on the other coast of the United States of America, and I understand that there's a difference in terms of how people look at each other over here. This is a more intimate situation where not that I'm out there, but that I can see from the distance that I look from that young men and young women are more interactive. The challenge that we deal with today is that years ago, when you saw an attractive woman on the street, you could approach her. But today she's on her cell phone or listening to her radio music, so that you're in a situation that if you wanted to approach her, that you've got to get past all of the things that are taking place in her mind already before you can say, yeah, baby, I'm going to get with you. And so that's some of the challenges that I've noticed in terms of from a day-to-day perspective, in terms of what we have to understand is that it's different today. They've got something in their ear, some sort of communication process going on, whether it be with a radio or a cell phone, that you can't even approach them, male or female.
Right, right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that's another form that is disconnecting, because you cannot basically tell an expression from an individual if you're texting 100 miles an hour. You can't see their face. You can't tell their reactions. I mean, sometimes you can look into a person's eyes and get a good indication as whether they are telling the truth or telling a lie. With this texting, I mean, you can't feel an emotion unless someone is, you know, really good at texting and expressing themselves. But in our cases, a lot of our young brothers don't know how to read and write. You know, so.
And there's a reason for that.
Yes.
Yes, we weren't supposed to be educated, because an educated mind will resist all this craziness that's presented upon the black community. An educated mind would take and start educating in a different respect, where we start working for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Lauryn Hill, now that's another artist that's young girl, and she sings about true issues.
Right.
And she said, we suffer from a superficial vanity, borderline insanity, out of control
mm-hmm.
humanity. You know, I mean, this is where she's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we should start playing some of her records, because her ideas and thoughts hit home, and she's young.
Okay, well, we'll definitely do that. Matter of fact, I'll make next week's Saturday Flashback Lauryn Hill night, Marshall.
That's great, man.
And we'll play all of Lauryn Hill's music, and if you're not busy Saturday night, maybe you can join me and Mr. Geis. You know, I give you an invitation, too, so I will start tomorrow collecting all of Lauryn Hill's music, and we will do a Lauryn Hill weekend.
Yeah, because we got to get some of these kids to start calling in.
Yeah,
So yeah, we have to go at where their interest lies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a thought anyway.
Right, right, right. Well, I'm thinking about, I've been trying to find a young kid to give one of these shows. In other words, I can take my jazz night and move it into my blues night. I would love to have a young kid, you know, to come on and play music, to have their own radio show, to reach out to his or her peers. So I'm going to talk with Miss Yvette and see if she can recommend someone that we can start them with their own show.
That's a great idea.
Huh?
I think that's a great idea, some young kid that knows, you know, the beat of the city and start
mm-hmm.
playing stuff that these kids relate to, that
right.
we always complain talking about we don't like, you know, but we're not 18 either.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I got a call in here. I'll be right back.
Okay. All right, we're going to reach out and play another song. You listen to Daniel Clark Network Radio, the Marshall Jones, the Daniel Clark and Marshall Jones show. I tell you, Will, we got about 4 minutes left here, 4 minutes and a half, so I'm going to sneak Sam Cooke in here, and we're going to come back and close it out.
But I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother and I say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Oh, there've been times that I thought I couldn't last for long, but now I think I'm able to carry. But I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
Yeah, Mr. Mr. Sam Cooke. Guys, we've got a minute and 9 seconds here. Marsha, I'm going to give you 15 seconds. Mr. Geis, you got 15 seconds, and we're going to close this baby out.
Okay, well, I got a poem I want to say, and it's called Oceans of Life, and it goes, every time I gaze into your eyes, I see the beauty of butterflies. I also see the tears of despair. There's something that is that isn't there. Too often we give up our heritage, pursue unnatural things that are temporary and worthless. No wonder we have pain. It's always less suspicious to avoid us trying time. You don't know how to have to hide from the glance of the curious. They can read between the lines. Arrogance is that one knows how to press forward and not how to draw back. Knows something about winning, but nothing about losing. So whatever your pain is of your own choosing. However, you are a child of heaven, and we all go through such strife. You just chalk it up as an experience on the ebb and flows on the oceans of life.
All right, my brother. Appreciate that. We got 3 seconds. So, Mr. Geis, we're just going to say good night, and we will see everybody on the air next week, same time, same station. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.